And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Knowing that today's gospel, and indeed our reading from Isaiah, would be something of good news. For gospel, that's what it means, isn't it? Good news, or as we heard in Isaiah, glad tidings. So preparing for this service today, I asked some of the choristers what would be good news for them. Winning the lottery was up there, gaining a prize on prize day, getting a great grade, school's out for summer, though not quite yet. I'm sure you could add to the list of what they too acknowledged to be temporary, material symbols of satisfaction, those things which are often accompanied by feelings of being proud or acknowledged or recognised, chosen, just as we might find if we're picked for a team or honoured with a surprise award. We know, of course, this is far removed from the gospel, the good news that Jesus wanted to share as he took that book in the synagogue that day and continued to share throughout his ministry. The good news of the kingdom. Though perhaps, or certainly we know, for those scribes and rabbis and learned people listening on, they may have preferred a shout out or an applause for their contribution to society, rather than have this man, Jesus, the carpenter's son, come and speak with the audacity of believing himself to be God's son. He, Jesus, had the cheek to return to his own home, Nazareth, having survived temptation in the desert and previously been filled with the Spirit, anointed and baptized as the beloved Son in whom God, but they were not pleased. For those frustrated, agitated listeners who fastened their look upon him, they were given no affirmation, but rather a constant invitation, a command to live a life of loving God and neighbor, living a life echoing the familiar words from the Hebrew scripture, from the prophet Isaiah. Words proclaimed, repeated in three of our gospels, and as we have heard in Luke today, Christ calls his listeners way back then and even today to proclaim, to live good news, not for the haves, but those who are deemed marginalized by poverty or darkness or imprisonment. And this is good news. Here is the news for us today, and it is good. And yet we cannot ignore our lives are immersed in news far from good. News that comes like a cacophony of sound assaulting our senses, mirrored in the kind of electronic sound of the ELO orchestra in the 1980s. Here is the news coming to you every hour on the hour, and in the last 40 years or so, with the advancement of technology, it feels like it's every minute, every second, that another atrocity hits the headlines. It's no wonder some of us want to unplug or disconnect from the brokenness, fickleness, sin of humanity, which appears to lack the capacity to be and bring good news to this broken world. However, if that is true for you, that wanting to disconnect, and true for me too, then we find the news challenging, don't we? Sometimes despairing. But here is the news that we have just heard, urgently proclaimed in Jesus's first sermon, whose manifesto, mission statement, if you will, declares for his time and ours to bring good news to the poor, tell prisoners they are prisoners no more, tell blind people they can see, and set the downtrodden free. You probably know that song. And we too are called to go tell everyone the news, that the good news of God, the kingdom of God, has come today. Here is the good news for today, not only for those of us physically, but poor in spirit, but only for those physically blind, but those whose lives are immersed in darkness, overshadowed, whose eyes are closed to the needs of their neighbor. God is offering us good news, a gospel of glad tidings. God is offering us a language of liberation and freedom from things and people and places that trap, restrict, imprison us, including those things, those habits which enslave us, which make our lives bruised. Here is the news, and it is good. Also, back in the 80s in the UK, some of you may remember, it was possible to buy a large selection box of chocolates, boldly called Good News, and inside each box of candy would be 24 tasty treats and a slogan which read, 2 dozen reasons for giving good news. And in this past, what seems like a week of mission, as we've listened to words of preachers and symposium speakers, we have been reminded there are multiple ways to listen and to give good news, to speak to injustice, to offer love, to give mercy, to walk humbly with the Lord, and yes, walk or even run, because we are called urgently to engage actively in our faith and not simply treat it like a selection box where we only select what suits us, leaving the chocolate fondants behind and discarding the Turkish delight. That would be my choice. We sometimes want to put aside the parts of scripture that we don't like the look or taste of. I do recommend to you to listen to the recordings of the symposium and our preachers this week. Perhaps you'll find them challenging. I know I did. One talk that struck me included the words of Archbishop Stephen Cottrell, who reminded us we are called to be peace makers, not simply peace lovers. He, along with others, encouraged us as a parish to engage in a theology of worship and action, to find new ways to witness and renew our reason to bear the gospel, to bring good news. Others spoke of the challenge to reflect on our habits of giving, including what might be called transactionable, charitable actions that affirm the giver, rather than building on a relationship of trust and mutual giving. We were also encouraged this past week to lay down our assumptions of our neighbour and their need based on our projected narratives, which resemble nothing of their own. And then there was Father Ritchie, who prompted us to consider what human-made, even well-meaning obstacles blind us from seeing the dignity in our neighbour, which doesn't need rescuing, for it's already there, We just need to see it. Today, as our church, our parish, and including all of you online, look forward to the day of Pentecost next Sunday and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, may we have our eyes opened, our minds and hearts open to the possibilities of working together with and for one another, with and for the needs of our neighbour. Maybe there are new ways that we can be a welcoming community. Maybe there are new ways we can reach out to those who are downtrodden. Maybe there are new ways that we can be a gospel place of liberation. Here's the news. Today, for all of us, you, me, we are all invited to open back up that book which Christ closed and look at the places before us, to continue the conversation of this missional week. How might we be more the body of Christ in Midtown Manhattan, giving and receiving the good news of Jesus Christ, not sometime in the future, but today? For the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and me and all of us as baptized, anointed, beloved children of God, called to proclaim, to be the good news of Jesus Christ, his witnesses today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.